A warm welcome as we gather at St. Luke's on this, the second Sunday of Christmas. There, I think I've got it. Just a couple of things to be announced today. One is those who desire offering envelopes. We know that with the pandemic, styles of giving have changed as well. There's not a plate being passed at church with all of you here. So some of you are sending checks, some of you have gone to electronic giving. But if you wish offering envelopes, they are available, and you can pick them up Monday or call the church office and tell Jean when you'd like to pick them up. That'll work. Also, we want to give congratulations to Nathaniel Wagner, graduated from high school in December, and that milestone is one that we don't want to overlook, so congratulations, Nate. And, of course, a Happy New Year, now that we're into this new year, which we hope will soon lead us out of this pandemic, as I see that vaccines have arrived and are being administered to some of the caregivers and older folks, and we hope that that will gradually expand and that soon we'll be able to be done with that. We turn to our service of worship, beginning with confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the aid of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that attentive to your word we may confess our sins, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Entrance hymn, I Wonder as I Wander. I wander as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor ordinary people like you and like I wander and wander out under the sky. If Jesus had wanted for any weak thing, a star in the sky or a bird on the wing, or all of God's angels in heaven for to sing, he surely could hide it, 'cause he was the King. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for the who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Hymn of praise once in Royal David's City. By your Spirit, comfort us in all darkness and turn us toward the light of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Just a reminder that this being a communion service again, you at home this may be a time or any time now to be sure that you have your elements prepared.
The first reading is from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. God promises to bring Israel to its land from the most remote parts of exile. In Zion, Israel will rejoice over God's gifts of food and livestock. Young women will express their joy in dancing. God will give gladness instead of sorrow. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor. Together, a great company, they shall return here. With weeping, they shall come, and with consolations, I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and will keep him as a shepherd a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, and has redeemed him from the hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord, the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 147 responsibly. Worship the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion.
For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you.
He has established peace on your borders. He satisfies you with the finest wheat.
He sends out his commands to the earth, and his word runs very swiftly.
He gives snow like wool. He scatters hoarfrost like ashes.
He scatters his hail like breadcrumbs.
Who can stand against his cold? He sends forth his word and melts them. He blows with his wind, and the waters flow.
He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel.
He has not done so to any other nation. To them he has not revealed his judgments. Hallelujah. The second reading is from the first chapter of Ephesians. In Jesus, all of God's plans and purposes have been made known as heaven and earth are united in Christ. Through Jesus, we have been chosen as God's children and have been promised eternal salvation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose in us Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fulfillment of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory, the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Announcing the gospel, I want to say what a pleasure it is to have Kay home to read today. She's been teaching in Qatar in the Middle East and is home for some other purposes, but it gave her an opportunity to be here for us to enjoy her presence and worship today. The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The light shines in the darkness. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. From Revelation, "And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb." And from Matthew, "You are the light of the world. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house." Friends, this text, the beginning of John's Gospel, brings incredibly powerful images and associations. I started with just a few from Scripture, but those images of light and of the dawn of creation, I think, are so powerful because both time and light are in here, and time is, maybe you don't think of it often, but time is a pretty mysterious thing. And light is such a dominant reality in our lives. The rhythms of light and darkness control our lives. And that's true even for persons who are totally blind, because they have to function in a world based on the lives and the schedules of people who see. I've just finished reading Eric Larson's book, The Splendid and the Vile, centered on England's survival of the Nazi Blitz during the Second World War. One recurring problem for the British people during that time was the problem of getting around during the blackout, avoiding the chuck holes and the lampposts and everything else. Over a year ago, I was fascinated to read Chris Impey's book, Einstein's Monsters, centered on black holes, the age and size of the universe, and it's all about light and time. The distance involved are so great that some of the light reaching Earth from the stars today comes from stars that no longer exist and may have been burned out a million years ago. Things that awed me, stretched my brain. There were even a couple of pages I think I understood. So today, still in the Christmas season, I'm putting those realities together with the verses that open this reading, "In the beginning, time. And the light shines in the darkness, light, the eternal will of God, and amazement that we are swept up in it." Light is light, of course, but in our daily lives, we encounter light from more than one source. I use the title for this sermon, Windows, Mirrors, and Generators, to try to point that out. Now it's daytime. Natural light is all around us. We can look out the windows and see what's happening, check the weather, look at the world around us, and mirrors reflect light. Now maybe I should have, instead of mirrors, maybe I should have said the moon. The moon reflects light. We know that. You see, there is no such thing as moonlight. When we use the term, we're actually talking about sunlight reflected from the moon. And often as today, the light we use, including here in the church, has been generated by some kind of mechanical or electrical process. Now, yeah, you've known that. You've known that since you were a child. But it relates to these texts. At Christmas, We're going to back up a minute. At Christmas and in the first Sunday after, it was all about the human story of the birth of the child Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us and one of us. The manger and the shepherds and the angels and the firstborn son. And then last week, the visit to the temple and the two old people, the encounters with Simeon and Anna, who recognized him, recognized that in him God was at work. But this morning, the prologue to John's gospel, our view changes. You might think of that marvelous picture taken from space back when the space program was in full tilt, you know, on our way to the moon, that picture of Earth taken from space. Remember how awed we were to see that? This fragile, beautiful blue planet seemed so small. Gave us a new perspective on life in this world. Or maybe even the more awesome pictures taken then by since then by the Hubble telescope. Those huge pictures, clouds out in the universe and the places where stars were being born. Galaxies there. Somebody talking about this text from John says, we are transported from angels and shepherds and the Holy Family to a cosmic explosion that inaugurated a new era, a new kingdom. The gospel writer wants us, friends, to recognize Jesus as the presence of the divine, the immortal, the creator God in our world and in our flesh. John offers that incredible truth and makes it transparent. Offers us a window to see beyond the limits of our vision and the darkness of our world and to see the light of God. On Christmas Eve, we heard those words, you know, from Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. You remember that? But of course, there are two sides to that. And in this prologue, in this text, John would have us see both the darkness and the light. The world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. We don't have to be terribly observant to perceive that the world does not know the Word. The book that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, titled Braiding Sweetgrass by a woman named Robin Kimmerer, she demonstrates over and over again our alienation from the rest of creation, from other living things, animals and plants, and as well as that, things like water and air. And so much of human life is controlled by the drive for wealth and the desire for power. And there's even more. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. When we give that a little thought, we know that that dynamic has been at work in a lot of places. We know that Israel did not accept Jesus. We know that many people who are not Jewish do not accept Jesus. But Nathaniel Howe, this is a great quote. He said, "It is the way of the world to praise dead saints and persecute living ones." That brings us to the second image in today's sermon, the mirror, reflected light. The light shines. Ultimately, it has only one source, the light of Christ. But in a service called Hold an Evening Prayer, Marty Haugen, the author, has a line in one of the songs, "May we each reflect your light." You know, you can turn a mirror to the wall. You can put it in a drawer. But the purpose of a mirror is to reflect light. Images, it is our purpose. What was said about living and dead saints is often true, but there's an important point to be made for us, and sometimes it can kind of pinch us. Because, you see, there's an important difference between knowing Jesus as Savior and acknowledging him as Lord. It's one thing to think of Jesus in terms of loving, forgiving sins and preparing a place in heaven. That is true. And it is a precious promise. Eternity is taken care of. We don't have to earn heaven. But such faith may have no impact on the world. Having Jesus as Lord, on the other hand, having the one who is in control of our lives, means messing with the way the world operates. and that tends to arouse opposition and resentment. There's a prayer that says, you gave your son both as a sacrifice for sin and a model of the godly life. When the godly life means, friends, that all are included, when it means concern for things like racial justice, noting that in our corner of the world, the rich are getting richer and the poor getting poorer, when we care about reducing income inequality and welcoming, loving, accepting all, well, it tends to get contentious very easily. The light shines in other ways and places too, of course. The light is at work, reflected in things that find approval as we work as servants of Christ, working together for the benefit of others. And I'm talking about charity. Programs like Habitat for Humanity, the World Hunger Appeal, Bread for the World, World Vision, and a host of others. That's part of our calling. And we tend to do that better. But both are part of our calling, addressing the darkness as well as doing good and helpful things. You see, this is what I'm saying, friends. If Christ is the light of the world, and we receive that light, that should make a difference in the world. One Jewish scholar said, or one Jewish objection to Jesus as the Savior, is that the world seems unchanged. The world seems unaffected. And they say, if Messiah is here, shouldn't that change the world? Maybe one small part of the world being unchanged, friends, is that Christians have become too comfortable with the world as it is. In too many cases, we have bought into the values, the violence, and the prejudices that are all around us. So sometimes I think the Holy Spirit needs to hit us upside the head, shock us or confront us, and guide us to perceive the will of God for our world in new ways. But there's yet one more. Much of our light comes from generators, dams, power plants, wind farms, whatever. Our text says, to all who believed in his name, he gave, listen to this, he gave power to become children of God. That means we are children of God. We are siblings of our brother Jesus. Amazing. I read that to say that we are not only reflectors, but maybe having Christ's light given to us, we are given the possibility of generating light to be kindled and to burn in and through us. As Jesus says in that place in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, as I quoted earlier, you, friends, you are the light of the world. It seems to me that part of the power of this text is that it doesn't deny or whitewash the darkness. The darkness is here. It is all around us and it is within us. But the darkness does not overcome the light of Christ. The light shines. And if we are faithful, it will come not only to us, but reflect from us and spark new fire within us to bless the world. Amen. We sing, What Feast of Love.
What wine of love is offered here, what beer
crimson rain from heaven, what streams of everlasting life, what precious love is given. This is Christ the King, the sweetest wine of heaven. Taste and sing, the Son of God is given.
We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Joining our voices with the song of the angels, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Redeeming God, you gather together your people from the farthest parts of the earth. Protect your church from stumbling. Let it not be overcome by sorrow, division, or despair. Make us radiant with goodness, that we might give always to the praise of your glory. Hear us, O God. You bring together heaven and earth. All creation testifies to your splendor. Hold the ecosystems of this earth in delicate balance, from coastlands to farmlands, forests to wetlands, deserts to rainforests. Show us new ways to live in harmony with the world around us. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. You overflow with grace upon grace. Expand the imaginations of those who serve in positions of authority. Open their hearts to the needs of their nations and communities. Protect all those in harm's way and those risking danger for the sake of others. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. You bring consolation to those who weep. Embrace those who feel far off, excluded, or defeated. Accompany those living with chronic and invisible illness. Sustain the weak and weary. Refresh those who labor under the weight of pain or sickness, especially Jill Sorella and family, and those we name in our hearts. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. You come to us in the beauty of darkness and of light. Bring justice and reconciliation to communities divided by oppressions and misuse of power. Guide us to speak holy words of advocacy and truth. Help us to honor your image in one another. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue working through our joint call committee collectively and through each member individually. We pray that the Spirit will move and work through Mark and Sarah as they seek candidates for our combined ministry in Buffalo. We pray that the Spirit will move in the hearts of potential candidates as well. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You turn our mourning into joy. We give thanks for those who have died in faith. With all the saints, give us our inheritance in Christ. In the fullness of time, gather us all together in your mercy. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of mercy, come quickly to us with grace upon grace, as we lift these and all our prayers to you, in the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Peace be with you. Share the peace with one another. We thank all of you who find ways to give in this time of pandemic. Your gifts bless the world and strengthen the ministry of this congregation, and we are grateful for them. We join now in the presentation of the gifts with Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful.
Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord, and fill to the brim our cup of blessing. Gather a harvest from the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and dreams of all, unite them with the prayers we offer. Bring up a table of your presence, and give us a foretaste of the feast to come.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts.
With them we offer ourselves to your service
and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made, for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, O Lord and Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. In the wonder and mystery of the Word made flesh, you have opened the eyes of faith to a new and radiant vision of your glory, that beholding the God made visible, we may be drawn to love the God whom we cannot see. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Oh.
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit, that by this holy communion we may know the unity we share with all your people, in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. We will read the response together. Now, Lord, you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory to the Father and to the Son. Glory to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. 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 Let us pray. Pour out upon us the Spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of those who have fed with one heavenly food, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Holy Child. Thank you.
they have a new kind of game with no people.
Yeah.
Yep. And they, we're just going to keep those.